This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
When I was 14 years old, the first time I worked in my dad's liquor store, he didn't say a single thing to me on our 40-minute drive to the store until we got to the parking lot. And then he turned to me and he looked at me and he said, "Keep an eye on the employees, they all steal." As I'm older now, I understand him. At the time, I was very emotional about this. For me, my employees are my family. I think we have audacity at the ownership level, at the leadership level. The way I think about getting team members on board is by caring more about their needs than mine. The way I do it is through empathy and compassion and putting myself in their shoes and asking why would they want to be on board. I reverse engineer their emotional graph, and then on an individual basis, I try to understand where they are on their journey. Sometimes kids come into my company and the first time I sit down with them, they say to me, "One day I'm gonna run this whole company." And I'm thrilled. I'm like, please, I'm getting old, you know? That same employee 5 years later sometimes walks into my office and says, "I need more work-life balance," because now they fell in love and they're starting a different chapter of their life. And I love that. I don't judge them for not wanting to work 14 hours a day anymore. I respect that that's their interest. I think it's a leader's obligation to reverse engineer the wants and needs of the people on their team, not only philosophically, but in reality on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's a very, very hard thing to do, but I think it's required to build something big. When you have the intent to care, you ask the questions. You know, when people come up with excuses of why they haven't accomplished something, it's often predicated on the fact that they didn't want to know the answer at the time. Do you know how many business owners avoid one-on-one conversations with their employees because they're scared they're gonna ask for a raise? So that one's very easy. It's called intent. One of the hardest things for a room like this to do to build scale is letting go. You know, people wanna micromanage because they don't realize their ego is tied up in it. People that start businesses have incredible pride in being the best at the thing, to the demise of scale. Anytime someone says that they're not growing to the level of their ambition or hopes and dreams, 99 out of 100 times, it's based on ego. It's they're incapable of creating scale because they fear scale, because they fear it in two ways. One is a very good one. They're scared that if they're not doing it, the client is not getting the quality of execution that they're accustomed to, which is coming from a very noble place, but is required to make scale. Or two, they don't realize how much pride they have in telling everybody that works for them that they're better at the thing than all of them. Both of it comes from a place of fear. You know, I think a lot about that when I talk to businesses that entrepreneurs run. I'm trying to understand, can they see that fear is dictating them, thus having them on defense versus offense? Most entrepreneurs and small businesses want to win the game 1-0. They don't realize that that's what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. And I think for me, I want to win the game 17-14, 39-32, 116-104. Most people don't have the appetite to make 104 mistakes. It is very clear to me, 25 years into my career, that kindness and empathy and patience and humility are actually the foundations. And I think the things that all of us think about as soft skills and emotional intelligence are actually the hard skills. That it is far easier for me to find people who are good at the task or have good math skills than it is to find people who are capable of being the bigger woman or bigger man in the face of pressure or adversity. You can have short-term success in many ways, and I believe that the world has been very clear to us over the last centuries that fear and negativity are sometimes a fuel for short-term success. You know, my argument is that it's not as powerful as brightness and love, that hate is a powerful trait. But I just believe it never beats love in the end. And I believe that to be true in business. Of course there have been people who've been successful who are not kind leaders. That doesn't mean that it should be mimicked. You know, everyone has become incredibly good at judging others. The world is addicted to pointing fingers. I have never seen the world louder about telling everybody else what they're bad at. So I think the way to deploy successful kindness and empathy is to actually start with yourself. I also want to remind everybody that deploying kindness when the other person is kind to you is very easy. I challenge the world to start having a conversation with itself of, does it have the ability to be kind and empathetic in the face of negativity? My leaders are incredibly kind to my employees when everything's going well. I don't need peacetime generals. I need leaders when things are bad and hectic to be able to be the bigger woman and bigger man in that situation to create a framework of kindness and empathy. So, you know, for me, it's about the accountability of being able to be that person. Right now, we are in a world where everyone is so quick to get triggered by bad behavior that they fight fire with fire, which is why so little is being accomplished in society, in politics, and in the workforce. And so for me, and so I'm spending a lot of time trying to think about how one puts the people that knows them the best in a safe place to actually give them the critical feedback that could be the jarer of a journey towards self-awareness. It's a very tough challenge. I don't know if I have the answer. What I can tell you is, no question, the business leaders that I admire, the human beings that I admire, are the ones who are off the charts in self-awareness. I do think that self-awareness has a very interesting relationship with accountability. I think that a lot of people actually know what their shortcomings are, but they try to navigate the world in a way where they are hoping that people don't notice. And it's something I'm thinking a lot about. When I started really reflecting on why, in a world where I really don't care about the money, why would I have any employee that has ever worked with me be unhappy with me? And I had to look in the mirror and realize that the greatest shortcoming of my life, let alone my professional career, has been my inability to be candorous about my opinions and feelings, which has led to subconscious and then conscious resentment towards that individual, which has led to conflict, which has led to me randomly firing somebody out of left field for them, even though I thought they should have known all along. That was a very difficult thing for me to come to grips with, because my greatest pride as a leader is the elimination of fear. When I realized that my lack of candor was actually creating macro fear because nobody actually knew where they stood with me, it was one of the darkest days of my career, but it was also one of the greatest days of my career because it started the process of me starting to figure it out and me being vulnerable and putting it in my book for everyone to see, especially when my reputation as a content creator is that is my strength, was an important step in my own evolution. My optimism comes from gratitude. When you are grateful for what you have versus envious for what you don't have, optimism comes second nature. Life is always going to be challenging, but perspective is something we all need a lot more of. It's incredibly important, especially for those in here who don't have a lot of context on me. I've been listening to the first 10, 15 minutes of this. Let there be no confusion. I am a full-fledged operator. I am only grounded in practicality. For 22 of the last years, I have been responsible to make payroll 100% on my own back. Everything I'm talking about right now is the framework for those successes. Yet, I could be very empathetic that somebody listening right now may think that this is a very optimistic, delusional ideology. This is the furthest thing from delusion. But society for over 100 years of business have told all of you that the things I'm talking about almost have no place in business or is a very nice to have as long as you have all the other skills. I promise you, all those other skills are a commodity. The reason most businesses fail is because they're incapable of firing the people that are producing dollars but are destroying morale. I think about leadership from this concept of gray, not black or white. Most leaders are gonna be either black or white. It's not empire of honey, it's honey empire. Nothing works unless there's humanity. The number one job of a leader is to eliminate fear. The reason we call it the honey empire when we talk about leadership is you get more out of honey than vinegar. You may get short-term wins in vinegar, but you will not get sustained wins with vinegar. Then there's the opposite side, the me, that everything's bubblegum and rainbows and you're putting it all on you, but you're quietly building resentment. You have to work on what I've worked on for the last 5 years, which is the ability to deliver what we call kind candor. But I realized that candor, that corporations love to stand up, was really for a lot of people an excuse to be mean, an excuse to control someone that they're managing so that they don't propel. You know how much human psychology goes into a manager that consciously knows the person they're managing is more talented than them? There's a subconscious repression going on there because they don't want it to happen. So candor all of a sudden became manipulation. So candor I always really struggled with. Somehow, some way, because I was working on myself, I sold myself on the concept of this term called kind candor. And it's transformed our company. Because what was happening for us was, you know, I'm the CEO of the company, I'm the founder of the company, so you're listening to me for 10 minutes here, I think you're getting a sense of how we roll. The problem is we were on the opposite side. We created unlimited entitlement. If nobody's getting any critical feedback and nobody's allowed to say anything to anybody, it went the other way. We were too over here. I genuinely believe that every single thing at VaynerX, all 1,900 people, that every single thing that isn't working is 100% my fault. I really believe that's leadership. Here's why. I could be mad at project management. I hired the head of project management. The COO did. I hired the COO. Like, there, you have to fall in love with accountability if you have any interest in leadership. You have to fall in love with it. And most people don't want it, especially right now. Pop culture right now is in love with pointing fingers. Everything's about pointing fingers. Most of us here, looking around, we've all now are deep in our understanding of all the things our parents fucked up on. That is like, say, right? Like, we are in deep knowledge of every thought we have about mom and dad right now. My question is, like, when does that stop? Cool, great, agreed. Inconceivable that someone is sitting here that doesn't have thoughts about that. My question is, at what age do you take control and fix it for you? And that's how I think about leadership. I think there's such an opportunity if we just get real about it and find that middle. There's incredible happiness that comes along with 100% accountability because you feel like you're in control. All of it is stemming on the same thing. If you don't feel like you're in control, as a human being, you were unhappy. The leadership of your own self starts to become the practice that you can deploy for others. Every single thing I'm disappointed with, my default in my brain goes into, how did I not put this person in a position to succeed? So that is now leading to the thing I'm frustrated about. What didn't I do? Your own pain and frustration, you're deploying on others. Right? So that's what you're bringing to the meetings and the energy. We just have to find a way to get all that poison out. You've got to get it out. That's all it ever is. It's just fear. And fear has been weaponized at scale in society, and so it's become normalized subconsciously. Life is about interpretation. Tactics will not work for leadership. Intent will. Do you actually give a fuck about people? Do you? Or is everything that you're doing completely predicated on the short-term monetary needs you have for the expenses you've created for yourself? That's the fucking question about leadership.